This morning we read from John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And we pray, these are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. There are a lot of unwritten rules to life, and no rules are probably more unwritten than public bathroom etiquette. Not exactly written on tables of stone for you, but for women, I don't totally get it. I think it's just they need to go together and they go in groups, and that's a thing a lot of times, and I think that's just a mystery of why that has to be the way it is. For guys, though, when you go to the bathroom, kind of the unwritten rule is you just do not talk to the other person in there. You just don't make eye contact, don't talk, don't pretend that that person exists. Maybe when you're finally at the sink washing your hands, maybe then do a nod or this sort of thing. But basically pretend that other person doesn't exist and then leave there as quickly as possible. Otherwise, it gets weird. Well, there's another place where we tend to pretend like another person doesn't exist. And that really is actually the church. Often in the church, we act like other people don't exist in there. I know what you're going to say. You're going to be like, no, I talk to other people in church, and I'm singing with people, and I know these other people are there. And I would say, no. I agree. We are singing together, and we're doing stuff. But the challenge is that we don't acknowledge other people's presence and existence to the extent that Jesus is talking about in this text right in front of us. Jesus, this Good Shepherd text, there's this verse that's kind of tucked away that's easy to not think is there or treat that it exists, but it's this part toward the end when he talks about other sheep in a different fold and that he must bring them and there'll be one shepherd and one flock. And that is going to acknowledge these other sheep are there. Because the thing is with all this good shepherd stuff, we can all be glad, I have a good shepherd and he's going to defeat the wolves for me and do stuff for me. We can all get on board with a shepherd defeating wolves for us. But then when it gets to what are these other sheep doing here? I imagine my good shepherd holding me, the lamb, in his arms, but what about these other sheep around? Then all of a sudden, are we really thrilled about these other sheep? Because the thing is, it seems like it shouldn't be a big deal. Yeah, Jesus is like, oh, I'm going to bring some other people as a side note to this. But if you actually think about the content of the New Testament, it's not simply these other sheep are coming in and it's going to not be that big of a deal. The other sheep he's talking about are the Gentiles, which is just the fancy word to say, all these other nations that aren't the Israelites, the Jewish people that Jesus is talking to here. And he's saying, I'm going to bring these other people. And that's not a small thing. It's a source of tremendous conflict throughout the New Testament. There's constant beefs about it. Read the book of Acts or read a book like Galatians. And you find out, it wasn't just that these Gentiles are coming in and we're all just going to be, super chill about it. It's that actually the people, the sheep that are there first, are accommodating, have to accommodate these other Gentiles coming in. Regulations get relaxed or eliminated because they're fulfilled in Christ. And so all of a sudden, it's these initial sheep that are having to change and make room for these Gentiles. And that's a constant theme in the New Testament, these boundary markers breaking down. And so, no, it's not just a simple, hey, these are going to be along for the ride. It's a big part of it. And so Jesus' comment here is a big deal. We can't pretend like these other sheep are not part of the flock and that it's going to be easy to just be one flock under one shepherd. And because the thing about it is that church unity isn't just like a problem that the New Testament church had to sort out between Jews and Gentiles. It's something that's an enduring problem throughout all of church history and up to today. And I think Lutherans in particular have a weak spot about it. Because we get, like, in the text it talks about hearing the shepherd's voice. That's God's word. We know we need to listen to what God says. We need to follow the truth of his word. And it's true. He doesn't say they're going to be sheep together and it doesn't matter. They will hear his voice. We get that. And we have Luther, when the truth of God's word is at stake and he's told to recant, he has his "here I stand" moment. We know that's important. The problem is that we often have a lot of conflicts and disagreements over things that aren't exactly covered by the shepherd's voice clause, so to speak. Difficulties and conflict where, and I sometimes do this as a helpful litmus test, you just ask, what Bible verse are we talking about again? Things where the shepherd's voice hasn't said this or this. And then it doesn't mean anything goes. It means the conversation, though, has to change. We don't have the shepherd's voice. He could have crammed more content in the Bible, but he didn't. And so that means I got to be concerned about other people and church unity and not shove another sheep out of the sheep pen. And the thing is like, even when we think of Lutheran as "here I stand" moment, it is like one moment. Luther had many, many moments of trying to get people on board with Lutheranism and getting people under the umbrella. And you can see it in, for example, Luther's comments on the German Mass. Luther's Works 53, just read through it. And you see he's at place after place. He's like, I think we maybe could do this. And then he's like, but I don't want to make a rule about it. Because he knows the problem of conflict and division in the church. So we have an impoverished view of Luther when we don't see church unity as a big concern of him. And we have an impoverished view of our Lord Jesus himself. Because the same Jesus that gives a bunch of commands about what to do or not to do also was concerned to bring other sheep into this fold. And so we have a real problem about it. Because just like guys in the bathroom, we pretend like these other people aren't there in the room. And then we think, well, I'm maybe want things to be kind of my way about these different areas. I want to be co-shepherd. Jesus didn't fill in every detail I need from the Bible, so I can maybe, you know, nudge a couple other things along. Sometimes we can be harsh and difficult with other people instead of trying to be like, you know, I got to accommodate other people. There's other people that I want to bring into this church. How can I listen to them? How can I help people get along? And the truth of the matter is we can easily act like, you know, conflict with the outside world or some hardened atheist is going to write some tract or blog post that's going to destroy someone's faith. But I think we're not concerned enough about how much could disillusionment from within the church, cracks from within the church, shove people away. And I think that's a scary thing. So when Jesus is this one shepherd and one flock business, I mean, that's tough because that means like you and me got to not get our way on some things. Because the one thing that he's particular about is this one shepherd's voice. But the concern for church unity, it's not just an isolated thing here. This is interwoven with all this good shepherd content. All this good shepherd content where Jesus says that he lays down his life for the sheep. So this isn't just some sort of separate point. Getting along with others in church unity is a big thing. Because of what a great joy and comfort our relationship with the Good Shepherd brings to us, that we want other people to have that too. He lays down his life for the sheep. Our sinless Good Shepherd took our sins on himself so that our sins are gone. He went up on the cross. He laid down his life because he didn't want our existence to be about impending death, doom, and hell. He laid down his life for us, the sheep, to give us forgiveness of sins, to wash us clean, to give us heaven itself. And he rose again victorious to say, this is the greener pastures I want for you. This is the greener pasture that I give you. He gives it to us as he's worked faith in our hearts and he's come to us in the word and sacrament, made that happen. And it's just like, you know, the sheep don't like say, I'm going to go out looking for a shepherd to watch over me. No, the shepherd comes, the shepherd gets the sheep, the shepherd takes care of the sheep. And that's with God too. He does everything for us to bring us in his fold and to give us heaven. And that's the motivation we got to get along with others and to be chill about so many things in the church that can be difficult. So, yeah, I hope you walk away from this one shepherd, one flock text with a renewed concern for getting along and unity in the church. You know, I don't know, like, we have a lot of people from all over the country here. I don't know where you students are going to get a job, where you students are going to move to after Bethany. But I hope and pray that you go to church, of course. Obviously, I'm Team ELS and Wells because that's how I roll. But I bet you, whatever church you end up in, it's going to have drama and difficulty. And I hope that in view of this text, that you can be a peacemaker in that church and help people get along. And this isn't a getting along that's empty and shallow. It's a getting along that is based on the shepherd's voice and the great comfort and the truth that we have right there. It's something that gives us peace now and eternal life too. And so what a comfort that is. So in view of that, let's please help others get along too. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, you prayed before your death that the church would be one just as you and the Father are one. Help us to be a part of the solution and promote unity and getting along in the church based on your true word and voice. Amen.